Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, you going to count me down?
Why are you screaming so loud?
I'm not trying to scream loud.
All right, three, two.
And two.
You count me down this time.
Three, two.
Welcome to the House of Jones podcast.
Nah, you don't know how to do it right. All right, welcome to the Jones Zone podcast, the House of Jones, the house that Jones built.
There is a house in Charlotte they call the House of Jones.
You done?
Yeah. All right. How do you like that?
No.
No?
Okay. First of all, the lyrics were kind of catchy, but the singing was just awful.
Well of course.
Hey, we sell them, we don't build them, am I right? All right, we're here with Doug Devaney. Doug is a research analyst and information specialist. He helps businesses big and small, from Fortune 500 to startups, do market data research, and he makes sure that businesses are making all the right decisions to help themselves grow. Doug, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. All right, man. So you're new to Charlotte, right? You've been here about a year?
About 9 months.
9 months. Good.
So, where are you from? Yeah. Where are you from, man?
So I originally grew up in Connecticut, moved to New Jersey in high school. So
Jersey. Yes. Sopranos fan?
It's okay.
Oh, get him out of here.
Get out of here.
Podcast is canceled. Just kidding.
All right, what?
And then, you know, some college and grad school in Massachusetts, and other than that, pretty much Charlotte as of, again, 9 months ago.
So. Grad school at Harvard. All right. Nice.
MIT? Harvard?
No.
UMass?
Yeah, UMass for undergrad, Simmons College for graduate school.
Awesome. That's very cool.
We've been to Harvard.
Yeah. Brian had to have a kidney stone taken out. That's where they did
it.
All right. Okay. So we gave you a...
this is a Harvard
A brief introduction about yourself. You kind of gave us a little bit of more about your personal stuff, but why don't you tell us about what a research analyst does and what an information specialist does, and kind of walk us through what all you provide and offer.
Sure. So hello everybody, I'm Doug Devaney, and I specialize in providing the data you need to help your business succeed. Whether your company is newly formed or established, my research helps you remain competitive and avoid financial risk. Need to open a new location? I can get demographics. Need to target potential customers? I can get a prospect list. Need to know about competitors? I can get data on the other players in your field. I can do all that and more. I'm Doug Devaney, and I'm ready to support your business.
Nice, man.
I like that.
I don't think we've had a polished...
Was that an elevator pitch?
What was that? That was some sort of nice little pitch there. Very nice, Doug.
I need you to get can you get dirty secrets on other realtors? Can you pull that information?
Do you have private eye skills, Doug?
I can get filings on businesses, individuals, you name it.
Very cool, man. Do you need a license for this, or no?
No.
You just, okay.
That wasn't a very good question, Chris.
Basically, companies hire you to perform market data research. So what are some of the companies that you guys have worked with in your past?
So, you know, I was employed with TD Bank for several years, and through working at TD Bank, I had the chance to pull information on all kinds of companies, again, big or small, public or private. So really, we had the chance to see, you know, what companies in a given market were doing. We were based in New Jersey in my particular group, but we definitely supported the entire TD Bank footprint of Maine to Florida. So we would pull information on companies all over the place, even foreign entities we can get research on.
So are these business owners that are coming to the bank looking for a loan, and your bank is using you to gather enough information to make sure that it's safe to loan them money? Is that what's going on?
Exactly. A lot of it was simply loan review, loan maintenance, making sure that the loan was in good standing. All of that sort of information was important. Another thing that we did was with LexisNexis, we would pull filings on borrowers and guarantors. And I actually put together the company-wide procedure on how to pull these exact reports so that the entire company was pulling them in a consistent fashion. We would make sure that when the loan was initially up for review that everything was in good standing. Additionally, every time the loan came up again for a renewal, we would pull new data. So there was definitely a lot of procedures in place to make sure that anytime the loan came up for renewal or something happened with the loan, new information was pulled to make sure that things were still in good standing. There was a lot of tools at our disposal to help with risk mitigation.
What's risk mitigation?
Risk mitigation would be the procedures and tools you have in place to avoid financial risk. So example, you know, checking the credit worthiness of a potential company you want to partner with, checking the rating for a given company you may want to partner with. Even if the bank, let's say, wanted to invest with a given industry, we could pull reports on that industry to make sure that industry, you know, was also in good standing. So any sort of procedures you can have in place to make sure that all the deals and loans you take on are good investments.
So if someone comes to you, or what does the bank, what's step one for you? Like if a company said, Doug, I want to hire you. I'm thinking about opening up a soda shop in town or ice cream store.
Let's say a coffee shop.
A coffee shop. Those pop up everywhere. What would be, like, what would you advise them? What would your first sit down be? What would you tell them?
Well, in my first sit down with them, I would make sure that I understood exactly, you know, what sort of business, again, it is that they wanted to establish. I would also work with them to understand, you know, the size of the business they're looking to establish. Do they want this to be a one or two location sort of business? Are they looking to become like the next Starbucks, et cetera? That definitely will inform the nature of the work required. However, initially, you know, just sitting down with them, making sure I understand again what it is they're looking for. To start with, I would definitely say, you know, we can get some demographics for an area you want to invest in, make sure that there's some, you know, good income and people of the age that you want to target living in that area. We could also get a prospect, or you could say competitor list, see if there are other restaurants and or coffee shops in that immediate area that you would be competing with. And definitely, you know, if they're, you know, to see how the industry itself is doing. If you want to get a sense of, you know, how are coffee shops and other, you know, small, you could say fast food establishments doing, we could also get some industry data for you to make sure it's even a good industry for you to be joining at this time.
What are you guys seeing happening with brick and mortar places? I mean, with all the e-commerce and things going online, I mean, we're seeing close, like, stores close left and right. Are you advising people to shift towards e-commerce? Is that a topic in your little world?
It's not something I advise on specifically. I would say, though, however, it is definitely, you know, the wave of the future. Of course, everything is online. It's been online for several years. We know that that is going to continue. However, the brick and mortar, I believe, still has a place in the fact that people do like going to their neighborhood establishments, whether it be a coffee shop, their favorite clothing store, et cetera, et cetera. I definitely think people like having that comfort level with having something in their neighborhood. You know, the convenience of that, I definitely think is nice. Of course, also having rapport with the people who work in that establishment is nice too. So I won't say that brick and mortar is going away. It's about making sure that, you know, your storefront does definitely have an online presence, and making sure that your storefront isn't in a location where you're going to get the traffic needed to make sure that you stay in business.
So you have done some, obviously you've done a lot of work in business development type of research. What are some other industries or fields that you've kind of dabbled in or worked in?
Well, in terms of the research itself, you know, again, you can look at it from a business development perspective for sure. There, of course, also is a due diligence compliance aspect to it, especially with the work I did at the bank. Again, making sure that we're in, you know, compliance with all different federal and state guidelines in terms of, you know, providing loans to people and businesses. That's definitely one aspect of it. Another part of it, of course, would be loan origination, making sure that we're, you know, targeting new businesses. And that's, of course, what a lot of my prospecting efforts did. This way the bank would know, for example, what kind of businesses are in an area, and maybe they want to start doing some outreach to them to help them become bank customers. So definitely, in, you know, in terms of that, in terms of the research I provide, there are many applications to it. But, you know, for the most part, my work has been focused thus far in the financial services industry.
Okay. You've done some real estate research. What's that all about?
So with real estate research, I have a lot of experience in providing data on both commercial and residential properties from the perspective of things such as market reports, you know, trends for a given area, comparables, finding out what properties are selling for and renting for in a given area. I've also done some mortgage research, you know, getting mortgages on a property, even doing some mortgage prospecting research. So, for example, if you want to know the properties in, let's say, Palm Beach County, Florida, that have mortgages filed on them through Bank of America, I have the expertise to actually get you that kind of info. So for a bank, this is definitely ideal so that they can see what their competition is doing in the local real estate sector. In addition, I pulled information on things such as owner information, liens on properties, tax assessed values of properties, you know, are property taxes even, you know, still current? So basically, anything you need pulled on a commercial or residential property, you can certainly come to me and I can provide you with that information.
Very cool. In terms of commercial real estate, we're seeing a lot of commercial real estate development here in the Charlotte area and Fort Mill specifically. What are some key factors that, especially like business parks, need to look for when they're building?
Good question. So I would say definitely, you know, demographics for the area is key. Seeing what other sort of competing industries are in that given area. So for example, if a business park wants to locate, you know, relocate, let's say, to a place where there are a lot of other offices who already handle, you know, that sort of industry, that may be tough for them to make a sell to put themselves in that area. So again, you know, demographics, you know, I can't stress enough, it's always important to know what is going on in a given area. And of course, real estate costs. Part of the research I could provide for, let's say, a company which wanted to relocate would be to see what offices are selling and or renting for typically in a given area. This way you would be able to know whether the price perhaps that you're being quoted for a given location is in line with the market or completely out of sync with the rest of the market.
Do you guys ever help commercial or residential real estate agents, or do you mainly work with and for the banks?
Thus far, you know, my experience, of course, has been with a bank, but I certainly could lend my services to anyone in the real estate sector, whether it be, you know, a broker, agent, appraiser, anyone who needs some better information or even, you know, just some any information to begin with on their market, what properties are going for. My research really does have multiple applications.
We should send this guy to some of the appraisers in town, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't get Brian started on that. We've had some appraisers fall short here recently. Not anything that we did, but just...
There's an episode of The Sopranos where they're beating up an appraiser.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just the appraiser.
Just
well,
the appraiser.
Appraise this. Oh, man. To have that power.
I know.
Is it too late for us to start an organized crime?
I don't think so. I mean, we probably could. So someone that says that they can pull all that information themselves, like do it publicly or through public knowledge, what do you tell people is the benefit of acquiring your service?
Good question. So as I like to say, businesses are going to pay either way. You either get some freely information, you know, freely available information from, let's say, Google, for example, and then, of course, the deal may fall through and there are penalties, fines, and fees. Or you can pay some money up front and, you know, pay someone like myself the monies to get you that information, and the deal goes through without a hitch. So as I see it, it's more about paying intelligently. And any business, whether or not they're a bank, you know, they still have financial issues. Even if they're not involved with, you know, compliance and due diligence requirements, if they're not technically lending money the way a bank will, most companies get involved with other companies in some sort of financial agreement where these other companies pay monthly, quarterly, or annually for their products or services. The more information I can get on the front end, the less headaches on accounts receivables end every month, quarter, year when the bills are due. So definitely, I think there's something to be said for getting information that you pay for and also paying someone who's the expertise to get you that information in a timely fashion.
And it's just freeing up the entrepreneur and the business owner, you know. Like, I don't want to spend hours researching market data. What the heck, you know. I'd rather outsource that out to someone that, A, probably knows how to do it better.
Yeah, it's about leveraging your time.
And B, it frees me up. Yeah. You know?
Definitely. And, you know, it's all about, you know, time management and efficiency, and I can get you better information faster and leave you more time to run your business.
Yeah. Do you charge by the hour or by the project, or how do you usually do that?
At this point, you know, I would be looking, you know, to be paid hourly for my services, and I do have a rate in mind for that, which I've discussed with several people. So currently, I'd be looking for about $45 an hour, which, as I've discussed with multiple people in the market, is not out of line for my skills, background, education, or expertise. So anyone who wants to tap my services, that would be the rate I would be looking for at this time.
Okay. What's the weirdest thing you've ever had to look up or research?
That is a great question. I don't know if it's necessarily weird, but one thing, you know, definitely a large scale request, which I always do like to mention because it was definitely something that let me stretch a bit, would be getting Medicaid spending for all the states on the Eastern Seacoast. So that really involved a lot of, yeah. So we had someone in the healthcare lending group who wanted to get some information on what state budget allocations were for Medicaid for all the states from Maine to Florida. And I was working alone on this project, in addition, of course, to all my regular research. So this required me to make a lot of calls to state Medicaid offices, you know, do a lot of research online. This was a several-week project. What made it helpful, though, for the client was that I actually would send them information piecemeal as each state was done. So they were not waiting for the entire project to be completed. They could get information as I completed it, which they definitely appreciated.
So you get Maine done, then you work your way down to New Hampshire, Vermont.
Yes, whatever. It wasn't necessarily done in that order. I may have done an alphabetical list. I'm trying to remember at this point exactly what rationale I developed for actually prioritizing.
Probably socioeconomic status, I would assume.
Something to that effect. But yes, that was definitely an interesting project. One other type of research I did fairly often would be data on foreign entities. And that was really interesting because we actually had the chance to see what sort of businesses were going, you know, what businesses were doing in, let's say, countries like Ireland, Sweden, et cetera. And we actually had a couple resources to which we actually could get data on foreign entities. Sometimes the reports may, you know, be partially in another language. That was definitely interesting to see.
So why is that important? Why would somebody want to know what's basically going on in Ireland or whatever?
Good question. So
yes,
TD Bank did also have a foreign trade and exchange department. So we definitely did have some offshore interests in terms of, you know, companies that were located abroad. And I believe TD Bank also did have a UK location, if memory serves, of some branch of the TD umbrella. TD Bank was just one part, of course, of the larger TD umbrella. And so there were some offices, I believe, in the UK. But yes, we did have a foreign trade division, and they would occasionally have investments and deals with companies located outside the US.
Hey, is TD Bank affiliated with TD Ameritrade?
Yes, they're under the same umbrella.
I got some stocks in TD Ameritrade.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Have you ever?
I have no idea what I'm doing with it. I don't know how to buy or sell, but I know I bought 10 shares of these two penny stocks. So I'm in like $12, but I've already made like $1.
Nice. So you got $13. Have you ever thought about being a fact checker, like for a political party? Like when, you know how like Trump gets up there and he's like, I'm going to save all these jobs, bring all these jobs, and you're like, nope, that's not true. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Not specifically, but I certainly, you know, research is research. So again, you know, any sort of company or institution who wants to tap my services or hopefully even take me on, I certainly could support.
What got you into the numbers and doing research like that? What is that something that's always interested you as a kid, like just reading books and finding stuff like that? Or
good question. So I had worked in libraries for several years as a paraprofessional. And then I actually decided to get my master's in library and information science. I loved, you know, just being around scholars and people learning, and I love the written word, and so the idea of working in libraries had always appealed to me. And then in New Jersey, through an agency which actually places librarians and other researchers, I had found out about this position at the bank, which was a contract to hire position. And I never had thought in a million years of working for a financial institution, but you know, I found myself in a department with a lot of people who had the same background as myself. We were all just lending our research skills in the financial setting. So definitely have always enjoyed that, you know, sort of aspect research. And that's a lot of the reason that I went into school for library and information science, for sure.
Hey, is the Dewey Decimal System still in place?
Yeah, what's up with that? Is that...
No, now it's Library of Congress Classification System.
Why don't you go to the library every once in a while,
bro? Dang, Dewey. Dewey Decimal's gone.
Library of Congress Classification
System. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't know that. The Library of Congress...
Yeah.
Classification system.
I know all about
that. You go to the library every once in a while.
I got my library card on my keychain.
You should. Support your local libraries. It's very important.
That's a dumb question.
How do they make their money? From late charges?
Are they supposed to make money? Taxes.
Taxes. How does a library work? Let's spend a minute there. How does that... He's like, you two are morons.
Am I doing here?
That's an interesting question. You know, libraries, of course, are municipal entities in the way that, let's say, the fire department and the police department are. So they function as a unit of the town in which they are located. So there definitely are allocations for the library budgets and whatnot made in that respect. Of course, there also are, you know, fines and fees and different sales the library can run, which also helps to generate some funding for the institution. However, again, first and foremost, they are a municipal entity, so they do have allocations in the municipal budget.
Cool. Have you ever seen that Seinfeld episode where there's a... Did you watch Seinfeld ever?
Not really.
They had the great library
Chris and I'll talk about it. Mr. Book... Was it Bookend?
His name was Bookman. And he was a library detective. So he would try to track down overdue books.
Jerry owed like a book from like... Oh, pop quiz. What's the name of that book?
Tropic of Cancer.
Yes. Yeah. Good deal. Cancer or Capricorn?
It was Cancer. He thought he had Capricorn. But they never he never turned it in, so it was like $100 or something really cheap. Well, cool, man.
We'll put a link to that on the show notes. The link to that,
Seinfeld episode. Never mind what all we do.
So how can somebody reach you if they want to tap your services?
Good question. So I do have a LinkedIn page, and again, my name, if you want to look for me on LinkedIn, is Douglas Devaney. The last name is spelled D as in David, E, V as in Victor, A, N as in Nancy, and then a second N as in Nancy, EY. So you certainly can look for me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way to start. And yes, one other important point I probably should make as well is that after August, I will be leaving the Charlotte area if I don't actually secure stable employment. So anybody who wants to tap me for my services, the time to act is now, and the clock is always ticking. So definitely do reach out to me as soon as you can.
Awesome. Before we let you go, I do want to talk about two different subject areas. Okay, one is healthcare. So with everything that's going on with the presidential election, are there any trends or research data that people need to know in that industry? And then two is the solar industry. North Carolina is number two in the country, I believe, in solar development. And do you have any advice or information you can share on that as well?
Okay. So we can start with healthcare. It's definitely an interesting time for healthcare, of course, with Trump calling for the repeal of Obamacare and wanting to introduce his own system or change things around. It's definitely an interesting time for the healthcare industry, to be sure. What I would advise people to do is simply to, of course, do their own research and see what information they can find for, you know, costs for different services. Of course, always do your research on, you know, the doctor you want to look at, make sure it's actually someone of good reputation, of course. I mean, there really is so much to say about healthcare, and it is such a broad topic, to be sure. But of course, if someone ever wanted to, you know, tap my services to have me get them some healthcare trend information, that they definitely could. And of course, I should also point out that with my previous role at the bank, I was the healthcare research liaison. So any sort of person who may be involved in a hospital, skilled nursing facility, or some other sort of, you know, healthcare organization who may want to find someone who can get them some information on the industry, trends, financials, demographics, anything like that, I'm definitely the person to help you with that as well, because I did have over 8 years of experience of working within the healthcare research sector. In terms of solar power, definitely the wave of the future, of course. You know, we keep seeing more and more solar panels on people's homes, people's businesses. It's a huge thing. It's definitely something I don't feel is ever going to go away or decrease. I think it's only going to increase. Of course, there are costs associated, and there are definitely arguments about solar versus traditional heating methods. But I definitely think it is the wave of the future, and I think anybody, again, should also do their due diligence on that. Of course, you can always talk to me as well, to find out more about what is going on in terms of that sector.
Is there any research supporting or debunking, what's it called?
Al Gore?
What's that called?
Inconvenient Truth?
No.
Global warming.
Talk about a brain fart. I couldn't think of the term. What do you think about that, man? Is there anything out there on that?
I'm sure there is.
I know it's a scam. I'll tell you that much.
You think global warming's a scam?
Well, no. I think that the Earth naturally has these heating and cooling periods. It's a natural thing. But paying money to Al Gore is not going to change it. If they can tax your oxygen, tax your carbon emissions, tax breathing, tax water, they control your life.
That's up for debate, is to tax my oxygen?
Yeah, your carbon emissions and oxygen. Look, I'm not going to get into it right now, but that's what they want to do.
Okay.
The world's global elite.
The world's global elite.
Look it up.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
No, you're not.
I probably won't.
No, you're not.
All right. Well, man, thanks for coming on the Jones Zone. Tell everybody once more your quick pitch and then how they can get in touch with you, man. What all do you do and how can they get in touch with you?
Okay. So I'm Doug Devaney and I specialize in providing the data you need to help your business succeed. Whether your company is newly formed or established, my research helps you remain competitive and avoid financial risk. Need to open a new location? I can get demographics. Need to target potential customers? I can get a prospect list. Need to know about competitors? I can get data on the other players in your field. I can do all that and more. I'm Doug Devaney, ready to support your business. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm in there under Douglas H. Devaney. The last name is spelled D as in David, E, V as in Victor, A, N as in Nancy, and then a second N as in Nancy, EY. You can also email me at Douglas_Devaney. One more time, that's D as in David, E, V as in Victor, A, N as in Nancy, second N as in Nancy, EY, at mail, that's mail.com. It's not email or Gmail, it's just mail.com.
All right, Doug. I'm going to call you Doug, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, sir. Pleasure. Pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.